And welcome in to You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Dr. Ben Edwards, MD, Veritas Medical. Check out the website, veritasmedical.com, for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's where you'll find it, at veritasmedical.com. Let me say good morning once again to Dr. Ben Edwards. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Wade. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I had a little sniffles over the weekend, but working through that. And so otherwise, we have a little few, you know, some of those things are kind of, they float around in the environment and pick up something here and there. It wasn't COVID, by the way. Of course, the president announcing that pandemic's over.
It's good of him to announce that.
Right.
So, sure, all EUA products will be pulled off the market now.
Sure,
since
right.
Those are only authorized for emergencies. So, let's not get off on that tangent, though.
Yeah.
Stay focused today. We've got a great show today. We've got another testimony lined up in studio. Before we jump into that, a couple quick announcements. Tuesday, October 4th, 7 o'clock at Veritas, well, right next door to Veritas Medical at the Underwood Cotton Exchange Building. First Tuesday talks are back. I took off September, was out of town, but we'll crank back up October 4th, Tuesday night, the first Tuesday of October, so y'all come join us. That'll also be on Zoom link. We'll get that out via our Telegram page. And then October 18th, that's also a Tuesday evening. I'll be down in Midland giving a talk. For a group down there, I don't have the location yet, but I know it's for sure going to be a Tuesday night, the 18th, probably 6:30. But stay tuned for that location. So happy to get down to Midland again, give a talk. All right, we'll jump right into our show today. We've got in studio today Angela Bennett and her husband Judson. They are patients at Veritas, been longtime patients. Angela's got a testimony for y'all to hear today, and the purpose of the testimony is to encourage you, give you hope, especially for those of you out there who have lost hope. There's always hope, and Angela's going to talk about that and encourage you, and really the glory goes to God in all these testimonies. God designed our body to fix itself if we'll steward it the right way. It's through lack of knowledge and deception primarily that we mismanage this physical temple. And that's what the point of this show is, and Veritas Medical is to try to bring some truth to this. We, of course, don't know it all. We're still on our journey of learning and trying to trust God more every day. And all glory goes to Him when His body fixes itself. It's because of the stewardship that person did. So we'll keep that in mind. This is not to glorify Veritas. So, Angela, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today. It's always my favorite show to hear a testimony. You know, God's Word says the dragon will be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony of the saints. So,
well, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here. I'm excited to share my story.
Thank you. Let's just jump right in.
Okay. Well, in order to tell my health testimony, I need to go all the way back to infancy. So I was a chronically sick baby. I had digestive issues, allergies, chronic earaches, many rounds of antibiotics before I was two. As I grew, most of these symptoms dissipated. And as I became a young adult, I started my monthly cycle I started my monthly cycle at the age of 12.
Mm-hmm.
From the start, I remember debilitating cramps along with body aches, fatigues. As I became a young adult, I learned to schedule my life around this cycle. During annual physicals, I would mention these symptoms of headaches, cramping. My periods were really light. I had altered emotional states, lots of depression and mood swings, even at that young age.
Mm.
And the fact that these symptoms would go on for 2 weeks out of every month. I was prescribed birth control pills early on, antidepressants, even muscle relaxers. As the years went by, I just stopped talking about my symptoms. You know, I figured this was life as a woman. So fast forward to my 30s, I went through a 7-year season of what you refer to as a state of adrenaline dominance, a constant state of fight or flight, no time off of the battlefield, so to speak. My body started what I refer to now as warning signs, but at the time, I dismissed them. For example, one morning I woke up and I remember the right side of my neck was extremely swollen. Sometimes I'd wake up and both of my eyes would be swollen shut. I developed allergies to outdoors, to the sun, to fabrics, metals, animals. I also began at this time to experience frequent urination, and I started having UTIs. I started also having spontaneous swelling under my armpits, muscle weakness, cystic acne, unexplained skin rashes, infections, and waves of depression. So I went to another doctor. This time, went through a lot of doctors during my journey. This time, I was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, fibrocystic breasts, high blood pressure, Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and insulin resistance. And so began the cycle of going to the doctor for a symptom and leaving with a prescription. I was also given more antidepressants to take with the one I was already on. Started weekly allergy shots, inhalers, eye drops, benzodiazepines for anxiety. And for my bladder issues, I was given prescriptions for overactive bladder and a list of foods to avoid. I'll never forget that. My diet at this time, I must say, was a standard American diet or SAD diet. It consisted of processed foods, fast foods, hybridized wheats, refined sugar, basically everything that was found inside in the middle of the grocery store.
That deadly middle of the grocery store.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm embarrassed to say, but I would go through a 24-pack of Dr. Pepper in about 2 days, and I drank absolutely no water. I joke about it now, but I literally used to dust my stove. That's how much cooking I did at my house.
I have to add that to our questionnaire. You have to dust your stove.
I would tell people the only reason I had a kitchen was because it came with the house. Yeah. And my idea of home cooking was boxed dinners. That's where I started.
Wow. Yeah. You have come a long way.
I have. I remember during one of my appointments at the urologist, he came into the exam room after I had a cystoscopy done and urine culture, and he patted me on my shoulder and told me, "Everything's normal. This is common for women your age." He said, he looked me in the eye and told me, "You're going to have to learn to live with this." And dismissed me because I wouldn't take the prescriptions that he was offering me.
I want to clarify real quick, cystoscopy, for those that don't know, that's where they basically put a little camera up into the bladder and look around. So when we say it's normal, that's just what, you know, to the eye, what you can see in that gross perspective of, you know, there's no tumor, there's no obvious massive bladder wall problem. And, you know, I've often told patients that those are some of the worst words a doctor could say is everything's normal, especially after someone just listed out a whole host of symptoms. We should be saying, "I'm sorry, on this test, I can't see anything," but it doesn't mean everything's normal. Obviously, you have tons of symptoms, but I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. It was a disappointment when I was dismissed. I mean, he didn't have cause for me to have a return visit because I declined to take the prescriptions that he was offering me, and I just insisted that giving me a list of foods not to eat was not the answer. I felt something else was going on. There was, even at that time, I had little knowledge of where I am now, you know, at the time, but it just didn't set right with me. I just couldn't keep adding chemicals, prescriptions, one after another, and I was not getting better. I was developing more symptoms.
Yeah, and this particular doctor, he was looking at the bladder because you were having lots of bladder pain or symptoms of UTI, but no infection?
Yes, it was quite a few UTIs, and it was frequent urination, bladder spasms. Things were just not right.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best way I know how to describe that at the time.
And still young. I mean, some people hear frequent urination, recurrent UTIs, you know, when someone's 80 years old in the nursing home. But you were still young.
At that time, I was in my mid-30s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Yes. So, I do just want to insert here for all of the women out there that have ever had any bladder issues, you know that it can consume your day, as well as planning anything that requires you to be away from a bathroom for any length of time. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not just a hiccup. You actually plan your day around when you would have to go to the bathroom, when you might need to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Where is one going to be?
Yeah.
And it's every day, even throughout the night when you would wake up, you know, very frequently to go to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it consumes you.
Yeah.
It's a symptom that consumes you.
Mm.
During this time, I had begun to study in the Bible, the Old Testament, particularly Exodus and Leviticus, and then God's instructions for blessings and cursings in your life, as well as Deuteronomy, which are, you know, basically his laws to live by. Mm-hmm. But it also includes, you know, clean and unclean foods.
Mm-hmm.
So the frequent urination, the bladder spasms, the UTIs were soon accompanied by a drastic change in my monthly cycle. I was now experiencing a very heavy flow. I was completely exhausted during my cycle. I had constipation, cramping during the week of my period. My legs and arms felt like they had weights tied to them. I was beyond weak during that time. This was, again, another disruption to my life. And this time I was referred to a doctor 5 hours away. During her exam, she stated that no woman should be this sensitive during a pelvic exam. And she said something isn't right. That was on a Friday. And the following Monday, I was in what she called an exploratory lap surgery, laparoscopic surgery. I had expressed to her in the pre-op that I did not want a hysterectomy. I was 36 years old. After an hour and a half laparoscopic surgery, I was told I had endometriosis, and my right ovary had a large cyst on it. She said that she cut out all of the endometriosis lesions, removed the cyst, and then she recommended that I go through a type of chemically induced menopause over the next 6 to 8 months, and then I'd go back on birth control, and all would be fine. And again, it just didn't set right with me. I know they must be, you know, labeling me as a difficult patient at this time. But my thinking was that why would I go through all of this to go back on birth control, which may or may not have contributed to my reason for needing the surgery in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And at this time, I didn't know a lot about endometriosis. There wasn't a lot of literature out there. There wasn't even many treatment options. And there were no diagnostic images available, no testing mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. do for endo other than just a visible, which mm-hmm. means surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you know, this plan of hers didn't sit well with me. And once again, I declined treatment. During the year following my surgery, I had made some difficult decisions with God's guidance and actually was able to separate myself from the source of the adrenaline dominance in my life.
Mm.
I was still on a sad diet, but I had begun to research the animals and fish that God had mentioned in Deuteronomy, had said were clean and unclean, and took a dive into the why behind this. I delve into the animals' eating patterns and habitats, and I also began to research all the diagnoses these doctors had labeled me with. All my symptoms led me to the same word, inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the Holy Spirit was guiding me through discernment regarding the knowledge that came across my eyes. It was almost a year to the day since my surgery when I started to have intense, constant pain above my pelvic bone. And here we go again, more doctors, more diagnostic imaging, more tests, no answers. So I went back to the doctor who did my surgery. I was losing weight. At this point, I was afraid to eat much of anything. I didn't drink much liquid at all. I had stopped Dr. Pepper and juice at this time, so yay for me. But when I would drink, my bladder would fill. I can't accurately describe the pain that I went through emptying my bladder. It wasn't like the pain from a UTI. It was more of a stabbing nerve pain just above my pelvic bone. It was excruciating. It would take my breath away. Basically between the constant pain and the fear of what I ate and drank, I was physically starting to waste away. I do have to give credit to this surgeon because though she said she'd never seen a patient with the symptoms that I presented, she did reach out to her colleagues and researched for someone to help me. And after 6 months of living with this pain, she did phone me and she said she wanted to do a second exploratory surgery. At this point, we had been talking about possible hysterectomy, and I consented reluctantly and told her that if she felt a hysterectomy was the best decision to go ahead while she was in there. After 5 hours in surgery, 2 hours in recovery, I was in a hospital room. And the next day, she explained that I had one of the worst cases of endometriosis she had seen in her 40 years as a surgeon. My uterus, ovaries, fallopian tubes had adhered together with endolesions. My uterus was attached to my bladder and pelvic floor muscles. She also found endolesions on my large intestines, and my bladder was covered in endometriosis. She told me that she removed my uterus, both ovaries, my cervix, and cut out all endometriosis surrounding my other organs and muscles, and that she would not be placing me on any type of hormone therapy for at least a year. After 12 hours post-surgery, I once again started to experience pain, unbearable pain, in my pelvic region, and it was determined that my bladder had stopped working. After a couple of terrifying days, they went by, my bladder did start to empty itself again. I ended up staying in the hospital a week before I was discharged. I was 37 years old, and I was not even perimenopausal prior to the surgery. Once I got back home, I was close to bedridden for approximately 6 weeks. I was in so much pain. The pain getting out of bed, going to the bathroom, walking, sitting was not even an option for me at the time. The only thing I could think of at the time were words that my grandmother used to tell me. seemed kind of random at the time until I had a chance to meditate on it later on. But she would say to me, "When in doubt, move." So with the conviction of her words and the urging of the Holy Spirit, I started walking outdoors. In the beginning, I could barely make it the length of two houses. Like I said, I meditated on her words, "When in doubt." It came to me that doubt also means uncertainty, which causes questions, sometimes without answers, to invade the mind. Doubt can open the door for the adversary to creep into your thoughts and begin to wreak havoc in your mind and your soul. And one can only hear God when the mind is quieted. 6 months post-surgery, I am now four different doctors, all monthly. They were all 5 hours away. I wasn't healing like I should. I was seeing a pelvic floor specialist because of all the trauma on my bladder. That my bladder went through, I was having difficulty emptying my bladder. All of those muscles around my bladder within the pelvic floor were in a state of constant contraction. They wouldn't relax, and I was very underweight. The pelvic pain was still there, but not as intense as it was before my hysterectomy. And I had developed a chronic UTI. Also developed allergies to most oral antibiotics as a result of this. And I was now having to go to the local infusion center at the hospital for IV antibiotics given to me through a port they had been placed in my upper arm. I was still afraid to eat many foods. I was physically frail. My emotional state was starting to decline. I couldn't sleep. I was having hot flashes, foggy thinking, lethargy, muscle weakness. I was losing faith in these doctors, and all doctors at this time. I had begun to research endometriosis, hormone replacement therapy, osteoporosis, osteopenia, which I had been also diagnosed with. I was learning how every system in the body is affected when a woman has a hysterectomy. I was learning about inflammation, estrogen dominance. I read a book or came across a book by Christine Northrup called The Wisdom of Menopause, and that helped me out a lot to understand what was happening to my body. At this time, I felt betrayed and was hurt by the medical community. I had decided that I didn't want pharmaceuticals and doctor's appointments to be my life. I was starting to turn more and more to the Bible, to herbs, to minerals, to vitamins, to God foods. And I also was having great difficulty processing what had happened to me. I no longer felt feminine. I was becoming bitter. I was silently brokenhearted and mourning what I describe as a loss. I felt no one understood what I was going through. I saw and knew of so many women who have had a hysterectomy and went on about their life without much, if any, interruption. And I just felt sad. My joy was gone. Depression was here, and I couldn't shake it like I could before. During one of my follow-up appointments, a nurse tried to convince me to admit myself in a mental facility for a time. Bitterness and isolation was settling in. I found myself withdrawing from everyone in my life. I was becoming angry with God, myself. Even desperation had left. When you are desperate, you still have hope. And I started praying for God to allow me to die in the night. I no longer wanted to be in this world if this was going to be my life. I felt useless and powerless. All through this, looking back, my husband is a living example of agape love for me, a Christ-like definition of patience, kindness, long-suffering, forgiveness, tolerance. He was my cheerleader, and he became my advocate because I had stopped being my own. And he was the one that came home one day full of excitement because he tells me that he's heard of a functional doctor in Lubbock, Texas. And he knows how I'm currently feeling about doctors, so you can imagine what my reply was at that time. Mm-hmm. I had begun to believe that my situation was hopeless. I just wanted to be left alone and didn't care to see another doctor in addition to the four I was already seeing. So I went to my appointment with Dr. Edwards reluctantly in the spring of 2017, almost 18 months after my hysterectomy.
This might be a good break point. That's a horrendous story.
It's been a journey, and I didn't realize there's so many things that had left the mind until I had a chance to get my words out and down on paper. And I'm visiting with Judson. I was like, I can't believe everything this physical body and spiritual soul went through. I can't believe the storm mm-hmm. that encompassed me.
Yeah. What's awful?
What's crazy is she's leaving out part of the story of we were in Dallas and we were seeing the surgeon and they asked, she told her, we're going to release you to start going, you can start, you know, trying to exercise or whatever. And Angela said, I'm so sore from being in bed, just not moving and everything. Can I go to my chiropractor? And yes, of course. So on the way to the airport, we called and made an appointment to the chiropractor. And we landed in Midland and drove straight to the chiropractor. And 30 minutes later, Angela had two herniated discs in her neck from him trying to adjust her neck. Mm-hmm. 11 millimeter herniations, mm-hmm. which are surgical. and she needs to have her neck fused but refuses to go through another surgery. So with the help of a good doctor in Midland, he's been giving her pain management shots for her neck. But yeah, so just bam, bam.
Yeah,
and
one thing
couldn't
after
sleep.
Another, never let up.
Arms dead, numb. So.
Well, I don't know if you can get much worse than that. Constant pain.
Constant pain. There was no getting away from it. And I understand people that are in a state of chronic pain, what that does to the soul, what it does to the mind, what it does to the body. We rest when we sleep. We regenerate and mend when we sleep. If you can't ever get away from pain, you never get that. You never get that break.
Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Angela and Judson, and the regeneration, the hope, the renewal of health when we come back.
And welcome back into You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out VeritasMedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's VeritasMedical.com. Check it out today. All right, Dr. Edwards, right back at it. What a powerful testimony in the first segment.
Yes, sir. And we're with Angela and Judson Bennett sharing their testimony here. We're going to get right back at it. You know, that first half was pretty dark, but we're going to get into the light here real quick. But I want to briefly, we mentioned at the end, Judson was talking about the pain management doctor. And I just want to make the point that just because at Veritas we do a lot of, you know, natural things or holistic, whatever you want to call it, we try to allow the body to fix itself. There's a time and a place to use conventional medicine, pharmaceutical. You know, when you need it, you need it. It's the overuse of it. It's the inappropriate use of it. It's the inability to dig down to the root cause and try to see if there's a way to fix it. But when you need it, you need it. And the pain management here really was life-saving, it sounds like. And, and Judson, you had mentioned in the break, this had been your pain management doctor. You'd been through a few bang-ups here and there, a few surgeries. So just kind of share with me what you were sharing at the break about implementing the sugar Nazis, anti-sugar diet.
So what I was saying is we came to this doctor for Angela through me because through my lifestyle of being a wild man when it comes to horses, I've hurt myself several times, and so he had really helped me, and I was getting injected about four times a year. But through this walk that we're on now with you and Angela, I referred to her as the sugar Nazi. She, in fact, we had the big sugar fight about, oh my gosh, about 3 months into your deal. I come home one evening and I pour me a big bowl of Rice Krispies and I go over to the cupboard to get my sugar because there's nothing better than sugar on Rice Krispies and there's no sugar there. And unfortunately, I lost it a little bit and I said, hey, this is your deal, not mine. Where's my sugar? And so in her pajamas, she storms out of the house and goes to the little store to buy me sugar. And I felt so bad when she got home with the sugar, I threw it away. But anyway, I still cheat every once in a while, but I am so much better than I used to be as far as my sugar intake. And I was telling Dr. Ben, since I have gotten my inflammation down by not eating so much sugar, I went from going to the pain management doctor four times a year to where I have not been injected in 3 years now.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, that's encouragement. I see that all the time. I've seen people ready for knee replacement surgery, and they just quit the sugar, and all of a sudden they can postpone that operation. So that's great. I like to highlight that if we can change the diet a little bit, drop that inflammation, amazing things can happen in the body. All right, Miss Angela, we got to hear the rest of this story because people are feeling pretty down right now, I think, after that first half. But there's hope.
There
we're going to hear about that right now.
Hope has been restored.
Amen.
So during my appointment with you, Dr. Edwards, and your PA, a couple of things that stood out from this appointment versus all of the other doctor's appointments that I've been at. First off, you and your PA were in there with us for over 2.5 hours. And you didn't start the conversation by, well, good morning, Miss Bennett. So what can I do for you? What's going on? You actually took time to go through my health history, my labs, pictures of the surgeon's findings, results from countless diagnostic imaging and tests. You took time to listen to me tell my story. At this point, in addition to my bladder issues and emotional state, I presented that day underweight, malnourished, mineral depleted. I had leaky gut. My hormone levels were negative on my labs. My hair was falling out. My liver enzymes were elevated. I had high blood pressure and asthma, and I was on iron supplements. During the appointment, I expected halfway for you to excuse yourself to go see another patient, but you never did. You stayed in there. and I will probably get emotional at this point, but I will never forget what you said to me that day. You looked me in the eyes, and first you said you were sorry for everything that I'd been through. And you told me, we're going to throw everything we can, even maybe the kitchen sink at you. But we will figure this out. That's what you told me. We left Veritas that day after 4 hours, and I looked at my husband and told him, so this is what hope looks like. I went home and began to take inventory of my pantry and kitchen, and I was learning to read labels. I ended up tossing out most everything out of the pantry. I remember telling God that if you led me to Veritas, I'm going to need you to lead me down this road. You know, I mentioned earlier that I actually dusted my stove, so I had no cooking skills, no pots and pans, measuring spoons, what knives to use, how to cut up vegetables, honestly, how to cut up vegetables. Didn't know how to do that. I started, if there was a square one with cooking in the kitchen, that's where I was at this point. Yeah.
That's where a lot of people are, actually.
Yeah. I remember the first time I went to the grocery store, when I walked in that day, I actually prayed for the Holy Spirit's guidance. I remember reaching for a brand of spaghetti sauce that we always used to get, and I was urged to read the label. And at first, I was shocked at the amount of sugar in spaghetti sauce. And then I tried to pronounce the rest of ingredients, and I remember saying out loud in that aisle, I can't pronounce these words. And a small voice came to my mind and said, well, are they God-made or man-made? A light bulb moment right there in the spaghetti aisle.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Yeah. And a verse came to mind that I'm going to mention today is John 16:7. I tell you the truth, it is for your advantage that I go away. For if I stay, the helper will not come. If I depart, I will send him to you.
Mm-hmm.
I will send him to you. It's a promise. He will come. He will partner with you. He will guide you.
That's right.
So.
I believe it. He guides me every day.
Yes.
Without him, we'd be lost.
Yes. Yes. So at this point, I'm learning and navigating on how to cook. Like I mentioned earlier, I had no knowledge of anything pertaining to the kitchen. All I can say during this time was poor Judson.
He still had his Rice Krispies, too.
Yes, they went. They went.
Sorry, Judson, were you cussing my name back then?
So I was learning not only how to follow recipes and meal plan for the first time ever, but also how to substitute ingredients into these recipes, you know, God ingredients, paleo, keto, natural ingredients. And it was around this time that Veritas started the Wellness Navigators program. So Angie has been such a blessing to me. I have asked her and picked her brain so much over the course of the years, and she's been there every time. I couldn't have done it without her. I was actually taking one pillar at a time within the Veritas program. Next was the movement pillar. As I was feeling better, as I was starting to get the right nutrition and eating better, I started yoga. I had more energy. When I began, I couldn't hardly touch my toes with my hands when I bent over. But yoga also gave me an awareness into my breathing, which led me to a book by James Nestor called Breath, The New Science Behind a Lost Art.
Mm-hmm.
Being aware of your breathing is helpful, not only during stressful situations, but day to day. So nowadays, in addition to yoga, I also incorporated other exercises. I do Pilates and I run. I found that exercising has provided an outlet for life stressors, and it recenters me. As I mentioned earlier, I feel better than I ever have.
Mm. Yeah. Hallelujah.
I believe God's hand was at work when he paired me with my PA at Veritas. She's been such a source of comfort, encouragement, solutions, and my prayer warrior at times. God has done a work in me, and I know I still have a ways to go. He's led me through the storm into the calm of his peace. Philippians 4:7 says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So I've learned to value this peace and my health and this body that I've been given. I will protect it, and I will fight for it. I no longer allow the scale or the mirror or the world to define my worth or my health or my life. I've learned to listen to my body, when to rest when it's tired, when I need to be in nature, when I need to detach from technology, when I need to move, when I need to be still. God gives us the responsibility of believing the truth. I feel like we have to take ownership in this victory. You must decide to be an overcomer, to face the challenges in this life and defeat them in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. I have come a long way down a road that in the beginning was foreign to me, and I figured out that it's not about the ending. It's about making good choices for today. Today is all we have. The present is a present. Yesterday is gone, and we are not promised tomorrow. I've learned to give myself grace and be confident that God is there to guide me if I just ask. Life is a daily journey. James 1:22 says, "Be doers of the word, not hearers." And Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your offspring may live." God has given us a detailed instruction for living on this earth, to live a life that's holy. And the Hebrew translation means set apart from the world's way of living. It's just like what Dr. Ben says, whatever the world's instructions are, do the opposite. Disease and sickness is a form of bondage, and the truth will set you free.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's my story.
Wow. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Well, it's been my honor. One question. If you had to put a percentage on it of your healing journey, what percent would be the PA or doctor at Veritas did something to heal you versus you? You healed yourself once you were equipped.
I don't think I would have been very far down this road at this point had I not let go of being determined to be in the driver's seat of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It took me to a point that I had to get to, and I guess everybody's point's different, but that was my point that I actually got to when I said, "God, take the wheel."
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I learned how to be dialed into him,
mm-hmm.
To trust where he was guiding me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that he's paired me with the PA that I have. I do believe that he's spoken through her to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it all boils down to if I was going to be receptive to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that part of this walk has taught me how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I give all the glory to God. I am, quote, difficult patient. I am type A. I am stubborn. My heels are in the dirt. He knows that about me. He formed me.
Yeah.
So this was my journey. This is where it took me, where I had to get to be partnered with him, to be willing to be partnered with him.
Yeah.
But as far as the percentage, again, I think if I was not receptive and I didn't have the ears to hear, I wouldn't be here today in the health that I am.
Your willful, voluntary submission to the truth,
yielding
to God, allowing the Holy Spirit to come and speak to you, and you receiving that and moving on what God shows you, that's a big, big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how can the body heal if we're fighting against it, so to speak, especially in our mind?
I do have to say, of all the doctors that I have seen, Veritas has been the one that has been most in line with God's instruction for living for me. So it was a confirmation that this is where I need to be. This is the doctor I need to have.
Well, we try to line up as best we can, and of course there's always more to learn and room to improve, but he designed us, he created us. Why wouldn't we want to try to line up with him? Let the flow of the healing come when you're lined up with God's plan and his intent.
And it is so true. It doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it took me 30 minutes to read a story of mine that happened over a period of years. But it, when I partnered with Veritas, I started to see for the first time a progression of healing. I felt so long, for so long I was just stuck, stagnant. Nothing was happening. I wasn't getting better. So once I really partnered with Veritas and allowed God to just take the reins, so to speak, that's when it all started to move forward. Progression started to happen. Health started happening. I noticed a change in this physical body and how I was feeling. It was getting better and better.
Praise God. Judson, I know you've got some things to share as a husband of the patient, and now patient yourself, but and just in general, any comments? We've got probably 10 minutes or so.
Well, what I was going to say is, she was saying partnering with Veritas on this journey. That's the difference between Veritas and just a doctor that you go to that's, you know, purely throwing pharmaceuticals at you. It's not a partnership. He goes, here, this is what you need, take it. They give you the tools, Veritas gives you the tools to understand why you're taking these supplements, why you're taking this, why you're taking that, why you're unfortunately not eating sugar anymore. But
still got a chip on his shoulder.
a little bit, and it's not a chocolate chip. But one thing that's impressive about Angela, and I'd encourage everyone that is listening, that if you decide to go down this journey, one thing is, when we left that day from the first visit, Angela truly jumped into the deep end head first. She quit sugar immediately. She has been, everything that Ben's told her to do, she does it to the 10th degree. And I think that's where the success has come from, is Ben's guidance, but her willingness to do whatever whatever it takes to get better. And it helps being type A and being able to be that driven and go in one direction when I go in 73 different directions daily. So it's tougher for guys like us that can't focus. But I want to thank Ben and his staff and Angel, because they gave my wife back to me. And I'm just so happy that we were on this journey of going to, from Odessa to Dallas. We'd go on Fridays, and We'd literally get up at 3 in the morning and be at the first doctor's appointment at 9, and we'd see 4 doctors, and we'd come home. And Angela wasn't healthy enough to be doing that, but that's how we had to do it. We'd drive down there and drive back all in one day, and it was overwhelming. And she left out the part where, I mean, she lived for 3 years, 4 years with an ice pack in her pants. That's the only way she could function, is with an ice pack down the front of her pants. And in fact, one of the doctors over there one day told her she needed to toughen up. That he said, I don't know what to tell you, you just need to toughen up. And I said, well, I know what I can tell you, that I've broke my back and I've had all these injuries, and never one day in my life have I had to stick an ice pack down the front of my pants to function.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to apologize to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that just devastated her when he said that to her.
Mm-hmm.
And then to go the polar opposite, to come to see Ben, and he spends 2.5 hours with us. And it's just, there's a lot of love at Veritas, and not only love for the patients, but for love of God for the Word, and it's just encouraging to see that. So, thank you.
Well, thank you all. You've been awesome patients, and to be a reflection of Him and to share your testimony will give lots of people hope. And I do want to say, you know, there's, I think most doctors go to medical school to help people. A couple in my class, I think, went because their dads were doctors and they were used to the lifestyle and they were kind of in it for the money. But that's for sure in my class was a rare minority. But we sit there for 4 years in medical school and we get taught one way. And, of course, in my naiveness back then, 20 years ago, I thought that one way that I was learning was the best way. Why wouldn't they teach me the best way? I mean, we're the best, aren't we? The United States healthcare system, the MD Anderson Hospital, all these things. And so I was naive, and then I just, you know, basically it's, you know, you could call it a form of brainwashing, but you're taught one way, one thing, and it's pharmaceuticals. You identify, you try to make a diagnosis, so we have real fancy diagnostics, all these imaging and different things. Sometimes we just have to go in and look around laparoscopically, and you put a label on it. And that's just a word. I mean, it's just a label, endometriosis, or you fill in the blank. And that's it. We're taught how to identify that thing, to label it, and then there's a pharmaceutical or a surgery that matches up to that label. And that's it. It's a matching game. You match your pharmaceutical to that label. And then next patient. And at best, you're going to get some temporary relief. And that pharmaceutical is never going to be able to get to the root. And the literature is clear that the root is diet and lifestyle, even our thinking. So if we're not taught that in school, we're not taught how to figure that out and investigate that and educate and counsel patients on those diet and lifestyle things, all you can do is write a prescription. So I feel sorry for those doctors out there, and I feel sorry for patients more than that. And our whole healthcare system over the past 100 years has gone nothing but downhill, and it's sad and unfortunate, and that's where we're at now. So, you know, as people out there listening, if you're a patient in that system, just be aware of what you're in. And it's not your doctor's fault, really, to a degree, maybe. I mean, he's got to take some responsibility. But he was trained a certain way. He's got one tool in his toolbox, and that's a prescription pad. And really, that's about it. And it's called standard of care. And we're able to do outside of standard of care at our clinic because most people have failed standard of care and have no other options, or refuse standard of care. And so the state of Texas does allow complementary and alternative medicine after that standard of care has failed or been refused. So just want to encourage everybody out there, encourage your doctor too. A lot maybe are looking now to open their eyes after the last 2 years, but there's a lot of hope for those doctors. They can get out of that system and they can learn how to trust God and how to turn to God and let the Holy Spirit guide them. Come, let us reason together. God gave us the intellect, but then He gave us the Holy Spirit, and together we can get somewhere. So, thank you all for being willing participants with the Holy Spirit's guidance.
Thanks for having us.
All right. You're welcome. Okay, everybody, Angela and Judson Bennett today on the testimony. We'll archive this at veritasmedical.com on the resource page and also on You're the Cure on iTunes. We'll have another great show next week, so y'all tune in again. Wade, thank you for having us.
You bet. Of course, you've been listening to You're the Cure with Dr. Ben Edwards, MD. Check out veritasmedical.com for archive shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. That's veritasmedical.com.